Okay, it's 6 o'clock, so we'll call our meeting to order and welcome everyone on this beautiful evening. We have one regret this evening, and that is from Deputy Warden Wagner. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda for April 8th, 2026.
I'll move that.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Moving on to acceptance of the minutes, the first are the March 25th, 2026 minutes. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we'll accept those as presented. And then the minutes of March 31st, 2026, any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we'll accept those as presented as well. Business arising from the minutes. Anything to come before council this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to presentations. We have one this evening, and we will welcome Kevin Curry, who is the Executive Director of Southwest Nova Transit Association. Welcome, Kevin, this evening.
Thank you. Be as fast as you just ripped through the first four. I do. I mean, Angie, we haven't met, but I've met you at social events and stuff like that. So yeah, I know everybody around the table. So don't want to know. I don't know if I need this out. Do you want to? Thank you. Appreciate it. And I thank you guys for allowing me to come present sort of where we've been, where we're going, and the financial ask, which I formally presented to all five regions. Geez, feels like 2 months ago. I can't remember the exact date, but so yeah, I just wanted to come and give you an idea of where your money's going and what we're doing within the community and how we're supporting all the residents. So, Nicole. So I don't think we need to get into who we are. I think people know who we are, so I can skip the first slide. And if you want me to repeat it, happy to do so. So what I've tried to do for the presentation, there's a little bit of a mixture of sort of narrative as well as statistics. That way it gives some people like stats and data and other people like more of the narrative. So I try to intermix this, but essentially what you're looking at in this slide is year over year. This is our basically 13th year of seeing increases year over year. The last three years we've seen between 17 and 20%. This year we're just shy of 18% year over year. And we're projected another 18% next year as far as volumes are concerned. At this stage of the game, and I can't remember if I presented it last time or not, maybe not, but there is a lot of data out there that shows what the population bubble looks like. And essentially, it is what you suggested is the community is getting older, not a lot of young people following up type of thing. And that age bubble continues to get older and older. And as they do so, the demands for rides and transportation will continue to increase. And that's why we're looking at another 17 to 18% increase year over year next year type of thing, just because of the demographics. Some of the specialties we're seeing as far as medication and medical attention are concerned are outside of the county. And that's driving a lot of our distance and drives as well. On the bottom left-hand side, I'm trying to give you guys an idea as to where we're seeing the volume increase. The red line represents countywide, irrespective as to the destination. But you can see the biggest drivers are Halifax, Kentville, and Yarmouth. So out of county continues to be a big driver. So while we have seen significant increase in the amount of drives, we've also seen a very significant increase in the mileage due to the fact that we're seeing more and more out of county trips. In county continues to be our largest driver with about 75% of our trips. And that'll always be the case for errands, shopping, medical attention. But like I say, we are seeing greater demand to go further and further distances. And by the way, I'm going to rep through these pretty quickly, so I know I've got a time limit. So if there's any questions, just slow me down, stop me, ask away. On the top right-hand side, that bless you, that's the rationale for why we have trips. And you can tell there's 75% of our trips are split between medical and food, which is a huge, huge percentage, right? Medical, obviously, tops it over at 55%, give or take, and food's right behind 20-21%. And then on the bottom right, that just echoes the destination. So in county, about 84% of our trips are all in county. And then you've got Halifax and Kentville and Bridgewater right behind that type of thing. Any questions? Okay, next.
That's a huge, I'll just make a comment. Yeah. That's a huge amount for medical appointments, you know, that you're supporting that need over almost, well, over 53%.
100%. And you got to keep in mind, this year, I think we're just tallying up the numbers for the year. We're either just shy of 7,000 or just over 7,000. And I mean by single digits. So I projected about 7,000, where it looks like we're coming in at 7,000. So yeah, you look at that, you say 3,500, you know, 3,500 trips are medically based trips, whether it be dental or medical or surgeries or outpatients or whatever. So yeah, it is a significant endeavor to make sure everybody gets to their appointments in time. And those ones aren't flexible. Those are very much anchored in a time slot that you get given by your doctors. And you're seeing more on the Saturdays, and we're seeing some activity on the evenings as well. So that's driving some of what I have on the next slide, I believe.
Yeah. And just another note on this slide. So almost 75% of the trips that are being made are either medical health, well, they're health and welfare, you know, food and medical.
Yep. Yep.
That's a staggering number, I would suggest.
Oh, yeah. And those ones we look at as non-essential, right? I mean, not to say, I'll use an example, not to say a hair appointment isn't essential for some, because some it is very much a social isolation and they want to get and see friends. But those trips, to your point, medical and food are very much non-essential. You have to do them. There's no other way around it, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it very much is essential services, those ones. All right. So what did we do? So a lot of what we did this year was what I promised you last year, with a slight slippage in one of my roadmap items that I'll get to. So essentially this year, like I say, we're just north of 17% year-over-year increase. We've extended our hours. Last year, this time, our dispatch was 10 to 4, and we're working Monday through Friday. Saturdays were an exception versus a rule. So we formalized our Saturday activity, and we're seeing more and more demand for Saturdays. And we've increased our dispatch to 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And that's to allow people to call before or after work. They've got things going on that they maybe that, you know, focus on work, and they just can't get through to us and or can't execute transportation. So we've extended those hours to try to accommodate everybody's demands type of thing. We've also increased fare subsidies. So one of the things that I commented on last year, when I asked for the funds that you guys were gracious enough to grant us last year, was we wanted to provide those that are at the lowest end of our economic curve a more substantial fare subsidy. So if you look at tier one, and those are the individuals making less than 17 grand a year, that was 70% last year. We moved up to 80% this year. And then this tier two, we moved from 60 to 70. So we've tried to move the whole tier up so that everybody gets a little bit more the further down the economic ladder you go. Like I say, it's a cost that some people can't avoid. So we want to make it as economical as we possibly can. So increased on-demand rides, particularly this isn't, I don't want you to read into this taxi, because it's not taxi whatsoever. Increased on-demand rides for us are predominantly speaking when we have someone that we drop off to outpatients. We never know how long they're going to be. So this is someone calling up saying, I'm done, or I don't want to wait anymore, or whatever. Our ability to get them and bring them back home afterwards. So that's what I mean by on-demand. It's not subsidizing the taxi service we have in the community. This is just on-demand for those riders that we've dropped off somewhere and they don't know how long they're going to be. So that's what that is. And then we've also increased our fleet. We took possession of a accessible wheelchair accessible vehicle this year. It's an 8-passenger vehicle. It allows up to 2 wheelchairs. So that'll help accommodate those that require the wheelchair accessible vehicle. So now we have 4 vehicles that are able to facilitate wheelchair transportation. And then the other thing we've done with the new fleet that we had, the vehicle that we had, we've purchased another plug-in hybrid vehicle. So we have 2 plug-in hybrid vehicles, and then we have a full hybrid wheelchair accessible vehicle as well. And these were predominantly funded by the federal government, as well as the provincial government through one of the federal government programs they have for asset purchases. So I think we're up to 8 vehicles now.
Wow.
Yeah. And we tend to average about 35 rides a day. Some of our busiest days are about 42. We've had some 45 ride days. So we're going places. We will hit over 350,000 kilometers this year easily.
Oh my heavens.
Yeah.
So what time do you begin?
It really depends. So what I tell people that ask that question is, we will accommodate appointments anywhere from about 8 till 5 p.m. And the reason I use that very specific terminology is if we have someone who has an appointment in Halifax at 8 o'clock, we will leave at 4:30, 5 o'clock to get them there. We have had riders leave their house at 3:30, 4 o'clock to get to specific appointments. So that's why I say we try to accommodate 8 till 5 from an appointment perspective. given the fact we may have to travel some distances to get them there. But we're very fortunate. We've got some great drivers who don't mind very early mornings. And we've got a couple of drivers that don't mind the evening. So between them, we were able to stretch that that time window pretty significantly. But yeah, we try our best to get everybody where they need to be as often as we can. So yeah, some long days. Very, very conscientious that drivers can only drive 12 hours a day. That's the legal limit. So we're very conscientious of that, but we try to facilitate as many trips as we possibly can. And right now we're probably averaging about 2.75 rides per week that we just can't accommodate right now. So we're trying to do that. And again, that, you know, we're looking at different ways to be a little bit more effective and efficient with our fleet. But like I say, call it, you know, three rides a week that we can't accommodate because of demand. So we're trying to get everybody. All right, Nicole. So this slide is specific to you. The other slides were countywide. This is specific to you guys. So you guys represent about 30% of our total ridership, but you represent close to 40% of our actual rides. So your residents are taking a disproportionate amount of rides per se, if you look at it just from a data perspective. Subsidies we provided so far were about $31,000 this year. You guys provided $21,600 as far as funding is concerned. So there was definitely a gap, and we found that in a few regions. We're fortunate that we get some funds from the provincial government, as well as we do some fundraising and donations, so that it helps close the gap. But that gap is something we always be very mindful of. And as far as events, as you guys know, we've been very fortunate to collaborate with the municipality and the town for the Regatta, the Dock Street Days, Miracle Dock Streets, providing shuttles and transportation to and from. We've had some really good numbers. There's been a couple of things where it's been less than ideal, like Miracle Dock Street. We did the first half an hour, 45 minutes for those that did, instead of doing the walkthrough, we did a drive through going super slow. We didn't have a lot of people take us up on that. And I think part of the reason is after we did that first initial stage, I stood at one of the corners and the amount of traffic looking for parking, it's like, you guys know you can park up there and we'll take it back and forth free of charge, right? Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, you can't stop cars till they look at you like you're kind of weird. So it's like, okay, well. So I think next year it's just a case of continuing to put the word out. But we've had people from Halifax and all over use our services from the shuttle service perspective, and all with great success. So like I say, we're encouraged and we're optimistic that hopefully we can continue that collaboration and work with the events team to help facilitate transport back and forth. And for destinations, like I said, you guys are about 2,700. These numbers were taken from about a month and a half ago, and I extrapolated them out to the end of the year. So we're in the ballpark. They're not wildly changing, but if I did the numbers today, it might be slightly different than what you see on the screen. But this was an extrapolation, so it's a pretty good indication where we're at. So as you can tell, in county for the municipality is 1,800 rides. 400 for Yarmouth is the second one. That's on the right-hand side, and then that makes up a total of 2,700. I don't know what the last number is for the year, but it's close to that. And again, same as the county, a significant proportion is medically based, with food right behind, as well as social activities and errands. There's a lot of errand activity as well that we find here. And some of that is those that, you know, live in Sable River or in Lockport or heck, Sandy Point for those guys who live down there, getting to errands back and forth to grocery stores and TLC or whatever, drugstore lawns, whatever. So that's why there's probably a little bit more in the errands activity. But again, you're very reflective of the entire county. Okay. All right. So excuse the header. Actually, that should be FY 2026-27. That's my fault. Okay, so we're projecting another 18% increase. Like I say, we've had 3 years now of 17 to 20% increases. We don't see anything that suggests that trend's going to slow down or reverse at all. If anything, it'll probably see an acceleration. Right now, the constraints are on the demand side. Like I say, we do unfortunately turn away a couple of trips per week. So right now, it's probably more on our side of things where we just can't accommodate the rides as best we possibly can. And keep in mind, we do work with our regional partners as much as we possibly can, whether it be CSI or Tri-County or whatever charters for airport trips, or we try to encourage people that if we can't accommodate them, that there are other alternatives. So we want to be as collaborative with those that are also providing services in the county as much as we possibly can. But right now, demand or supply on the side of things is a little bit of a constraint. The one thing I did tell you last year when I presented the roadmap was we're going to establish a link between Yarmouth and Bridgewater. That was going to happen this past year. it's been a little bit slower, but that is in the works, and I'm hopefully get that in the next 2 months. We hopefully get that off the ground. Just it's a case of getting the proper licensing for it, which we should have hopefully in 2 to 3 weeks, and then it's just a case of getting the vehicle. And again, thanks to the federal program, we're able to get that pre-approved from a vehicle perspective. So once we get the license, then we'll execute on the vehicle. And so the idea is that on Tuesdays, for example, we'll go from Lockport to Yarmouth and back, and then on Thursdays we'll go from like Woods Harbor to Bridgewater and back. So at least there's a connective tissue, whether it be for shopping, friends, family, whatever. It's going to be one way. And now we're going to go for a 4 month period. It's going to be a flat $20 fee per person for the round trip. I've talked to a number of people, including those from the multicultural and newcomers group, and there's significant demand. Walmart seems to be top of everyone's list. So I was told to prepare for a rush rate. I was hoping there'd be a gradual curve, but I was told to prepare for a rush rate off the get-go. So we'll see where that goes. But that, like I say, that's going to allow people at least to, it isn't to take away from local shopping. It's just to give people an opportunity to get outside the county, and whether it's visiting friends or family or shopping, whatever, it just gives them an alternative to get out and hopefully enjoy the weather like we have today. So the good news is, based on the feedback I've gotten, and I try to get out and talk to as many riders as I possibly can. The good news is our quality hasn't suffered as a result of the quantity. We still have, knock on wood, very exceptional service. Feedback has been phenomenal across the board. And it's kudos to the dispatch team, kudos to the drivers. They do a phenomenal job. They're very caring, very attentive type of thing. And so we're very fortunate to be in the position that we are, that there is such a swell of appreciation from the riders that we take care of, and the quality is still there, which is top notch for me. We're going to continue to make ourselves available for community events. We've talked to Lockport. They've had a couple of events where they had the skating event. We've offered free transportation for the skating event. So we'll continue to put ourselves out there for anyone in the county to help people get to and from events, because we have a lot of great events. And so I think it's important that we help residents get to these great events that we're putting out there. So and it's good for everybody to get out of their homes, and again, fresh air and stuff like that, and see friends and family they may not have seen in a while. So we'll continue to put ourselves out there.
It's part of good health.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I say, social isolation is a big concern, right? And we want to encourage people to stay at home as long as they can. But in order to do that, you have to make sure they're connected to the community and they're able to get the resources and services they need. So yeah, I totally get it. Like I say, some people, our drivers may be the only people they see for a week or whatever, or that the only way they're getting out of the house for the week. So we totally understand the significance of that event. And like I say, I think we do a pretty good job at ensuring they get a great service and great customer support. And then last bullet on here is we're working with a few people around the table from the greenhouse perspective to get some of that fresh produce once it gets growing. I've told it's 3 or 4 weeks that we hopefully get some of those shipments going out and get them to those that need the fresh produce in the community, wherever they may be. So we'll continue to be a facilitator and a collaborator when it comes to distribution of fresh produce from the greenhouse. Any questions? Oh, what happened there, Nicole? Nicole. Oh,
there we go.
Don't mess me up now, Nicole. All right.
I'll never let you down.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a few weeks since I've seen this. So, anyways, I'm not going to go through all this. This is the slide that you were presented as part of the ask. This year, we tried something different. Last year, we approached all 5 units as one-offs with our funding requests. This year, I think Warren spearheaded a collaborative effort where we presented once to all 5 units. And I think there's about 5 other community groups that did the same thing this year. So I'm pretty sure you've already seen this. The one thing I will call out, which is unique for this municipality, and given the gas prices, I may have to change this. But you guys are actually down year on year. And it isn't that I'm necessarily looking for less money, but quite frankly, this is a data-driven thing. So this is just taking the percentage of rides, percentage of population, smoothing them out and saying, here's how much money we need to operate, and here's how much money we need for subsidies. And whatever that number is whatever that number is. So this year, we're asking 4,500 less from you guys than we did last year. Again, On hindsight, I probably would have made it the same quick. If I knew gas is going to be $2 a liter, I probably would have kept it the same. But anyways, that's the math. So it looks kind of odd that we're asking for less, but full transparency, I crank the numbers out and say, here's what I think we need to operate. Here's the subsidy funds that I think we need. And then I look at some other sources that we get. Like I say, the provincial government does provide us some subsidy funds as well. So I just take that number and whatever the percentage is what the percentage is. So hopefully that makes sense to you guys as far as what the ask is concerned. Do I need to go through this? Like I said, I think you guys went through this. Yeah.
No, I think we're all good. Thank you.
Do I got more slides, Nicole? Oh, there we go. Anyways, to summarize, I do sincerely thank you guys for all your support, for collaborating with you guys. We're in a very fortunate and unique position to be able to provide this essential service to the community. And so we don't take that for granted. And like I say, we like to think that our quality definitely speaks for itself. Reputation speaks for itself. But I really thank you guys for the support you've shown us over the years and hopefully the support that we'll continue to receive from you guys, whether it be financial or just working with alongside with you guys. We sincerely appreciate all the support that we get from around the table. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Questions?
I'm sure there are some questions. I just want to, on behalf of council, say a huge thank you. Thanks. To you and your team. You don't just provide a professional discipline service, but it's a very caring one.
Yeah.
And you are helping our most vulnerable. So thank you for that.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions, but unless someone else wants to start. Councillor Richardson?
Not so much a question as a statement, I guess. I think it's a fantastic service. The feedback from the public is phenomenal. And I certainly hope that we can continue on, and if it expands, the need is going to drive the expansion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, thank you for the service.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah, I think council is very proud to support the association. I do have two questions.
Yep.
One, with the provincial government, the cutbacks, mm-hmm. that different organizations,
yeah.
may have experienced. Did Southwest Nova Transit experience? So
we did. Yeah, we did. Good question. So we did and we didn't. And as vague as that answer is. So essentially, initially, we lost $70,000 in funding, but they reinstated $50,000.
Okay.
So we didn't lose the bulk of funding. We did lose some of our funding, but it isn't as impactful as not getting the 50.
Right.
So the 20 was more on the operational side of things. So would I like to have the 20? 100% I would, but it doesn't have the same impact as losing the 50, if that
right.
makes sense. Just, it's the allocation. So we tend to run around 70-30, 70% on the subsidy side of things, 30% on the operational side when it comes to funding. So the 20 is more on the operation side versus the subsidy side. So let's say if we had lost the 50, there would have been a lot more impact from an end user resident perspective than losing right. the 20. But yeah, we did lose a little bit, but not as much as it could have been, for sure. And definitely not as much as other organizations, yes. sadly. Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah, my other question, the dispatch service, who provides that for
we
you?
We do.
Oh, you do it yourself.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
an it's internal.
All, yeah. So, okay. so we have, and if I get off topic, I don't know what my timestamp is, but.
No, you're good.
But essentially, we have two part-time dispatchers who work basically from 9 to 1 and then one from 11 till 5. They work Monday through Fridays type of thing. So we have two part-times. We have 11 drivers, but the bulk of them are all part-time. So we have some that work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, some that work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, some that work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So they're all kind of part-time, but none of them really put in about 40 hours. We have a couple drivers that are close to that. Mm-hmm. So it's a real kind of mishmash of the team to figure out all the schedules and who can fit in all the holes. But yeah, no, the dispatch is fully in-house for sure.
Okay.
And they're very much akin to air traffic controllers. So I've sat in the chair and I try to sit in the chair and I try to do drives to get everybody's job. And I try to do that at least, you know, on a frequent basis, just because I want to keep in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And some days it's pretty chaotic as far as, you know, callers coming in, looking for new rides, registering new riders, confirming old rides, canceling, altering them. Like I say, the phones are pretty busy during the day, so they are very much like a air traffic control. They're just trying to figure out where all the cars are going, and because you got to keep in mind, Shelburne County is 750,000 acres, I believe it is. It's a significant geographical footprint, and we service all, I can't say all four corners because it's more three quarters, but anyways, we service everybody. So just to keep in track of which vehicles are going where, where wheelchair accessible vehicles need it, it's quite the job. But yeah, we have an internal team of two ladies that do it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. For sure it is. Yes.
Thank you for that. Councillor Shand?
Mine's just more of a comment than a question as well, that it's an amazing service that you're offering and much needed. If you look at the numbers, like that's several thousand people a year that probably would not have been able to get to each of those places, whether it is medical, food, or just getting out to a function. So kudos to you guys for pulling that off, because it's a great asset to the community. And the addition to being available for our events has been really great too. I know, like you said, the Marathon Dock Street was a little slow this year, but it's like that with every new thing. The first year is always not so much like uptake in it as the year after and the year after it grows. So it's a great addition to a service to keep people safe and not be out walking in the streets. So anything we can add additionally like that is wonderful. And also gets your vehicle seen, so people know that you're out there. So a great service all around.
A little self-serving there.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Which reasons you have vehicles and vehicles so big. Yeah.
So no, kudos to you guys for doing such a great job.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Cool.
First of all, I wanted to say thank you to Kevin, because since he's come on board, it's been just phenomenal. We've seen real growth in the last couple of years, and he hasn't shared everything yet, but there's some things that were in the workings that are just phenomenal that are happening there. Our staff is second to none. Our board is, well, just excellent, you know. They got a good president.
Board's good. Board's good.
They've got a good president, I guess. So. But I do want to say thank you, because it's just phenomenal. I remember back a few years ago, I made a call just to get somebody to make an appointment for my wife to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
And I ended up on the board. Mm-hmm. And there's, of all the boards that I ever served on, this has been one of the best. And just to watch the folks around the table working is just exceptional.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Councillor Sutherland?
I just have a quick statement.
Okay, please.
I am a paramedic.
Yep.
And we pick up a lot of elderly people that do not have family, or I guess maybe family's too busy. And I'll just give you one instance, and I thank you for it.
Okay.
An elderly lady called an ambulance, but she didn't want to go because she didn't have a ride home.
Oh, well.
So I actually called for her to book a pickup time. And you guys came and got her home, and she said it's lovely, and she continues to use the service.
Appreciate that. I love those stories.
What a wonderful testimonial. Oh, my heavens. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yes. And Nicole, I can't see if Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
She just sent a message in the chat because she's online and said, thank you very much for your informative report.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Appreciate the feedback.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much.
So we will be, we do plan to approve our budget next week.
The one that I said should be higher than what it was, given gas prices.
but truly, just please convey our sincere gratitude and appreciation to your team as well. You know, as everyone around the table has said here, it's a service that's second to none, and one that we truly value and appreciate. So thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the feedback. And like I say, kudos to the team. I'm just a small part. It's everybody that's face to face and voice to voice. So
For sure.
And appreciate all the feedback.
Many more testimonials like what Councillor Sutherland has just shared. For the public to hear.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a wonderful thing. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll make sure the team's working.
You're welcome to stay if you're
I'll pack up for a few minutes and see what happens here. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. All right. We will now move on to administration, association boards and committees, council member appointments. And that's Ms. Hartley.
Thank you. Okay, so following the 2026 special election, a review of representatives on our association's boards and committees was undertaken. So each councillor a couple of weeks ago was provided with the full list of all of our association's boards and committees that require representation. And were asked to express their level of interest. So based on that feedback, I've compiled a list of recommendations. Hopefully I've touched on most of the committees that the individual counselors wanted to partake in, but certainly it's open for discussion if there are any that need to be switched around. So I'll just leave that to you.
Okay, thank you for that. And it's quite a list. There is one that Councillor Richardson and I had a conversation about. Not sure how to show this on the, we've got three pages here of representation here, but on the second page that I have, second to the last, it's regarding the Shelburne and Area Community Economic Development, the CED Society. And Councillor Richardson currently sits on that that board, I guess, as a member of the public. So I'm not sure if there's someone else who, and I would like to continue to be on that that board as well, but I'm wondering if there's someone else who would like to be a part of that. We, right now, I think Councillor Richardson are only meeting quarterly.
Yes.
Until, right, until there's a need.
Are they daytime or evening meeting?
They have been evening. Yeah, they have been evening. Councillor Shand?
If it's evenings, I don't mind adding an addition. If it's a quarterly thing, not a weekly, no, I could add more for a weekly, but if it's a quarterly, I wouldn't mind adding it to myself.
Okay. Any Councillor Richardson, did you want to call?
No, I guess it will be when we identify a project, it
yes.
may involve a bit more, but
yeah.
this time it's very periodic.
Councillor Shand as
the regular member.
You want to be regular or alternate?
Whichever you prefer. I'm good either way.
Okay. I think I sit on it as a regular right now, I believe, don't I, Councillor Richardson? Yes. So I would be fine continuing to sit as a regular and you yeah. as the alternate, unless you
that's fine.
Burning desire
no, no,
to.
No, it's fine to be helpful. It's offering, so no, that is fine.
Okay. So, let's see here. Okay. Any other changes that councillors would like to make to the list? It's quite a list.
And quite a motion to make.
Yes. Yes. I think what I did last time, and unless someone else wants to do it, I think I just read them out all together and then asked for someone to move and second the motion. Does that work for everyone? And just if I miss one, just please tell me. Okay, so we will get into this motion of associations, boards, and committees, council member appointments. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith and Deputy Warden Wagner as the municipality's council representatives and Councillor Richardson as the alternate on the Amalgamation Steering Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Cool and Councillor Richardson as the municipality's council representatives and Warden Smith as the alternate on the Audit Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith, Deputy Warden Wagner, and Councillor Sutherland as the municipality's council representatives on the CAO Performance Evaluation Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Richardson as the alternate on the Climate Resilient Coastal Communities Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith and Deputy Warden Wagner as the municipality's council representatives and Councillor Richardson as the alternate on the Municipal Joint Services Board Steering Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Cool as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Shand as the alternate on the Eastern Shelburne County Accessibility Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Sutherland and Councillor Richardson as the municipality's council representatives and Deputy Warden Wagner as the alternate on the Fire Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Cool as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Richardson as the alternate on the Region 6 Intermunicipal Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith and Deputy Warden Wagner as the municipality's council representatives and Councillor Sutherland as the alternate on the Regional Emergency Management Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the municipality's council representative and Warden Smith as the alternate on the Regional Library Board. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Cool as the alternate on the Roseway Hospital Charitable Foundation. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith, Deputy Warden Wagner, and Councillor Shand as the municipality's council representatives on the Roseway Manor Board. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith, Deputy Warden Wagner, and Councillor Richardson as the municipality's council representatives and Councillor Shand as the alternate on the Economic Growth Strategy Committee. And I believe that's just called the Economic Growth Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Deputy Warden Wagner and Councillor Shand as the municipality's council representatives and Warden Smith as the alternate on the Events Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Thorburn Irvine and Councillor Cool as the municipality's council representatives and Warden Smith as the alternate on Heritage Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Shand as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the alternate on the Shelburne County Climate Action Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the municipality's council representative and Warden Smith as the alternate on the Eastern Shelburne County Equity and Anti-Racism Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Shand as the alternate on the Shelburne and Area Community Economic Development CED Society. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Shand as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Cool as the alternate on the Shelburne County Arena Association. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Sutherland and Deputy Warden Wagner as the municipality's council representatives and Councillor Cool as the alternate on the Shelburne County East RCMP Advisory Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Sutherland as the municipality's councillor representative and Councillor Shand as the alternate on the Eastern Shelburne County Healthcare Professional Recruitment and Retention Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Shand as the alternate on the Eastern Shelburne County. As the alternate on the Shelburne County Community / NSH Stakeholders Group. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Warden Smith as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the alternate on the Shelburne Port Authority Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Richardson as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the alternate on the Source Water Protection Committee. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne appoint Councillor Thorburn Irvine as the municipality's council representative and Councillor Cool as the alternate on the Western Crown Land Stakeholder Interaction Deforestation Committee. And if I could have a motion to approve all of those recommendations, please.
I would move it.
Thank you. And a seconder?
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this motion? or all of the motions that make up the greater motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion? Oh, I'm sorry, Councillor Shan, did you have a question or comment?
I was just going to ask, when do we find out about each committee, like when the meetings are and that type of information?
Deputy CAO?
So we will notify the committees of the new representatives, and then each of them are responsible to reach out when there are meetings. So we'll provide them with your contact information and make sure that they're aware that there are changes.
Okay, sorry about that, Councillor Shan. Any other questions or comments? Councillor Richardson?
And I think as alternates, we're providing minutes of those meetings to the alternates to keep them up to date.
I'm not sure if that's done or not, Deputy CAO.
I think that would be up to the committee, dependent.
I was just wondering.
Might be a good idea actually to ensure that the alternates are part of the email list so that they do receive the information.
We will share the alternates' contacts as well with the committees. We can do that for our internal committees, but
yes,
can't necessarily request that from the external.
Right. Councillor.
I would agree with that because being alternates on some of those committees, if somebody isn't there.
Yes.
You go in cold turkey, you could do something that probably destroy everything that is going on because they don't know what the thing is. So that'd be great.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Shan.
So if you are an alternate, is the responsibility of the appointed councillor to make you aware they're unable to attend and see if you're able to replace them for that meeting? Is how that works?
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you for that. Thank you, Deputy CAO. Okay, our next item is under Code of Conduct regarding a breach. And this item is not open for debate. So this matter deals with two complaints and breaches under Section 6.1 and 7.1 of the Code of Conduct for Municipal Elected Officials. And I will read the letter of apology that was dated March 23rd, 2026. And it reads, to Warden Smith, council and staff and all affected by my breach in Code of Conduct. Recently, it was determined that I violated the Code of Conduct because I spoke about an in-camera issue that was not decided in public form. Although I did not purposely do this, it was found that I did speak of a matter which I should not have done. It was determined by council that I was guilty of two infractions. One, divulging information that was discussed at an in-camera meeting. And two, being dishonest with a staff member. I offer my regret of my lapse of judgment and offer my sincere apologies because of this. And I am sorry that by my actions, I caused mistrust and hardship. Again, I offer my sincere apologies. My goal is to serve the residents of my district in the municipality of the District of Shelburne within the rules laid out in the Code of Conduct Policy and the MGA. I accept the sanctions laid out in correspondence of this breach and what was given in separate correspondence. Councillor Ron Cool, District Number 6, Municipality of the District of Shelburne. So there is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that to accept the apology.
I would do so.
Thank you.
Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality District of Shelburne accept Councillor Cool's letter of apology with respect to breaches made under Section 6.1 and 7.1 specifically. One, being dishonest in a staff member with a staff member, and two, divulging information that was discussed at an in-camera meeting.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Moving on to committee reports and warden update. Are there any committee reports to review at the meeting, at this meeting? Councillor Richardson? Oh, sorry. No, you're good. Okay, I do have a couple of updates to bring forward. Did anyone else? Sorry. No, we're good. Okay, so we're getting to the end of our budget meetings. We held our last budget meetings on March 26th and on April 1st, and we will meet on April 15th to set the tax rates and deal with the other budgetary matters. On March 31st, Councillor Thorburn Urban and I attended the 20 Years Remembering the Fire event at the Black Loyalist Heritage Center. And it was so beautifully done. It truly was. There was music. The singer was just amazing. And I was trying to remember her name, and I think it may have been Connie. There was also a sharing of the memories from those who were involved 20 years ago. It really was about remembrance and reflection, and really the determination of a few who, you know, and the number of them who are no longer with us, who just, they would not give up on their dream of a new facility and ensuring that the stories that need to be told are going to continue to be told. So it was quite an emotional afternoon, but it was so beautifully done. And I don't know, Councillor Thorburn Irvine, if you have anything that you want to add to that. No? Okay. Again, I'm really happy that we were there to represent the municipality and to be a part of that. Also that evening, we had a special council meeting that was held with respect to the Jordan River Bridge, with council issuing an intent to award letter to Timber Restoration Services. So that's exciting. On the evening of April 1st, the Amalgamation Committee meeting was held, and it was agreed at that time that we seek a guarantee for funding from the province for all of those studies and reports that will be necessary for the committee to and for the public to discuss to determine whether or not we would be moving forward. So there were going to be follow-up letters to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and to our MLA, and hopefully we will hear something soon from them. And then lastly, a huge thank you to our Shelburne Events Committee for the Easter egg hunt that was held at the Islands Park last Saturday afternoon. I hear it was a huge success, and we had a little bit of issue with the weather, and I believe it was supposed to be held on the Friday, and we moved it to the Saturday afternoon. And so really glad that we were able to reschedule that and allow so many families to be able to get out and enjoy the Islands Park and the hunt itself. So I think there were lots of happy little people there. 20. Oh my heavens, 220. Isn't that amazing? That is wonderful. So again, the huge thank you to the events committee. They put on some really phenomenal events on behalf of the community. All right. We are now at the end of, Nicole, did you have something?
Councillor Thorburn Irvine just said that she concurs with your comment about the Black Loyalist event, and the event was important, recognized appropriately, and a beautiful, inspiring event.
Yes, it truly was. Thank you for that. All right, I think we are at the end of our meeting now. Anything further for committee reports? If not, we will adjourn our meeting at 6:49 p.m. and hope everyone has a wonderful evening.